Oi, Marge, there's a nun in the office, Frankie called.
I paused on my way up the stairs. Frankie, Mrs. Jameson's chauffeur, was lounging in the hall in her smart uniform. She'd removed her peaked cap and was using it to fan herself. The day was already hot and sticky. I felt warm from my trip out to the post office, even though I was wearing my lightest cotton frock. Really? We've never had a nun as a client before. When did she get here? I'd heard Frankie's opinion of religion, the opium of the people, and hoped she hadn't felt the need to share it with the poor nun.
About half an hour ago, I picked her up from Victoria Station, off the morning boat train. She'd been on the overnight sailing from Calais and looked pretty ropey. She's Italian.
Well, that was interesting. Ever since I'd started working for Mrs. Jameson's detective agency, almost 2 years ago, my employer had been getting regular letters with Italian stamps, postmarked in Rome, which she never spoke about. I dealt with the rest of her correspondence, but had been taught on pain of extreme disapproval not to open anything from Italy. Eagerly, I ran up the rest of the steps, tapped on the door of the agency and opened it. Was I finally going to discover the secret that Mrs. Jameson had been keeping all this time? Good morning. I crossed the big room with windows onto Bedford Square, where the July sun was dappling the dusty plane trees with gold. I reached for the pad on my desk to take down my usual shorthand notes of proceedings and smiled at our visitor. I'm Miss Swallow, Mrs. Jameson's secretary. The nun wore a brown habit and white wimple, all traces of hair scraped away from her face. She appeared to be of middle age and returned my smile with warm brown eyes, the same colour as her habit. I wondered why she wasn't wearing black, like the few nuns I'd seen in London. She was sitting in one of the green leather armchairs, tucking into a coffee éclair. My mouth watered as I checked the tray to see if Mrs. Smithson, the cook, had put enough out for all of us. Mrs. Jameson looked up, and I saw at once that she was annoyed. That was never a good start to the day. Her pale lips were pressed thinly together, and her grey eyes had a hooded aspect, like an eagle pausing before it pounced on some unwary rodent.
Marjorie, please wait downstairs. I wish to speak to Sister Agnese privately.
Her American accent was sharper than normal.
Bother. It looked like I wasn't going to crack the mystery that day.
Of course. I set my things down and made a hasty retreat. Downstairs, in the big kitchen, Mrs. Smithson was chopping vegetables for lunch and Graham the butler was polishing the silver.
Get chucked out, did ya?
Asked Frankie. She'd stripped off her jacket and was sitting by the open back door in her shirt sleeves, tinkering with something that looked like it belonged under the bonnet of the Lagonda. I nodded, ruefully. She said she wanted to talk to her in private. I didn't even get one of Mrs. Smithson's eclairs. I made a big pot of tea and handed around the cups.
Thank you, Marjorie. I've not had one all morning, said Graham, his perspiring face creasing into a smile. I'm parched.
You only had to ask, said Mrs. Smithson, a little peevish.
I don't like to trouble you, he told her. We've all got enough on our plates.
Everyone in Mrs. Jameson's household was a little fretful, probably because of the heat. June had been a washout, but July was promising to be a scorcher, and London was never at its best when the temperature rose. Mrs. Jameson had been talking for ages about taking a trip to the seaside. I had the impression the staff would be happy to see her go, so they could get on with the annual deep clean that happened in most of the big houses when their owners were away for the summer. I took my tea to the open doorway to get a breath of air. A few sparrows hopped around, hoping for crumbs.
Here you go, girls, said Mrs. Smithson, setting down a plate with an éclair each for me and Frankie. I kept a couple back for you.